It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome to another DocSmo.com, the home of PEDcasts. You know, those MP3s that are both educational and practical companions for parents to learn about pediatric health topics they can use from the crib to the country club. Let me remind you that by listening, you're agreeing to my terms and conditions that are posted on my website, DocSmo.com. If you need specific health advice for your child, go see your child's wonderful pediatrician. Now, today we're going to discuss food allergy. Now, allergy is really a hot topic in medicine today, as is all immune function. It's really the future of medicine, immunology, and genetics. If you think about it, cancers are probably genetic injuries with the failure of our immune system to appropriately weed out abnormal cells. Juvenile diabetes, inappropriate immune response destroying the islet cells of the pancreas in a genetically susceptible person. Asthma, a heightened immune response to usually inhaled allergens such as grass or dust in a genetically susceptible person. And then finally, food allergy, the topic of today, a dangerous allergic response to exposure to a certain food in a genetically susceptible person. Now, you get the point. You heard that in each of those illnesses, the words genetic and immune, you know, nature versus nurture. It's the interaction of your environment with your genes. Well, today's PEDcast is a brief discussion of what we know about food allergy in children, with a good dose of the old practical suggestions to minimize allergy and to manage allergy in your children's lives. To really get a grasp on this topic, we need to first learn a little biology so we can define what allergy actually is. Our immune system is the part of our body that hosts these reactions to the outside world. They protect us from invasion from the outside world. There are cells in our bodies that recognize what is foreign to us and reacting to destroy and localize those foreign things. Our very survival depends on this response. People with poor immune systems cannot survive over the long haul. Our immune responses are usually targeted at invading microbes such as bacteria or viruses or parasites, but sometimes the same type of responses can be targeted towards food. To our body, it's all foreign, isn't it? And food-based immune responses can be divided into two types: those that happen immediately after the ingestion and those that are delayed. First, let's talk about the immediate type. The prototype of this response is peanut allergy, the number one food allergy in the U.S. that kills children. Here's the sequence of events in a peanut-sensitive person. They ingest the peanut protein, and usually within 2 hours, they begin to become sick because they have an antibody, a protein, an IgE, that's a subclass of antibody, protein on their cells that react to this specific protein, releasing massive amounts of histamine, a substance that causes blood vessels to leak the water part of blood into various body parts. That leaking can be so massive as to cause any number of serious life-threatening things to happen. Remember, the prototype of an immediate hypersensitive reaction is that it's immediate, it's chemically mediated, and it's potentially life-threatening. Now for the delayed onset, the slow onset type food allergy. The prototype of this reaction is a baby who develops cow's milk allergy. You've heard of your friends having babies allergic to milk. Well, this is what we're talking about. Usually this type of allergy develops after a few months of life. It's not there from the get-go in most children. The baby starts to become fussy, maybe doing a lot of spitting, having mucus in their stools, or possibly even streaks of blood in response to ingestion of a cow's milk-based formula. Or maybe, if they're really sensitive, they're breastfed, and mom's consumption of cow's milk can trigger the same reaction in the baby. Just that little bit of cow's milk protein that gets in the breast milk can do the same thing. This child is developing an allergic colitis, that is, damage by their own immune system to the lining cells of their intestines. The cells that line their gut are leaking mucus and blood because they've been damaged by these immune cells. Oh, what a bad day that is. Now, potentially, they could become anemic and malnourished, even though they may be getting plenty of calories. Food is literally making them sick, but it's doing it slowly. Biopsies of their colon and intestines will show a war going on between the child's immune cells and the milk protein that they are allergic to. What are the signs of allergy in children, you might ask? Well, that really depends on the type of allergy. So let's break it down. For the immediate type that we just discussed, what doctors call IgE-mediated, the ingestion of that protein is followed by an immediate swelling somewhere. It may be in the skin, which causes an itchy rash that we call hives or urticaria. If that swelling is in the tongue, larynx, or bronchioles, the reaction may cause trouble swallowing or breathing. If it's in the gut, then there's usually vomiting. And if it's in the blood vessels and massive leaking of blood vessels occurs there, this is the worst reaction, which is called shock, a drastic drop in blood pressure and potentially death. Now, that's the immediate type. For the slow onset type, on the other hand, we call that the cell-mediated type of allergic response or delayed hypersensitivity response. All, you know, doctors are great for having lots of names for the same thing. But that really describes what happens. The allergy cells migrate to the site of the allergic reaction. If that's in the esophagus, if that's where it's happening, the symptoms are usually difficulty swallowing, heartburn, and maybe vomiting. If it's in the small intestine or the colon, the large intestine, the symptoms would usually be funny stool, cramps, gas, and what appears to be maldigestion. And if it's in the skin, the symptoms are rough, itchy, inflamed skin, and we call that eczema or atopic dermatitis. Okay, let's break this talk down now into the world of the practical. What are the current recommendations about feeding babies, especially babies who are at genetic risk for developing allergic disease? Those are the ones who have close relatives who have allergy, mother, father, sister, brother, or those children that have eczema. They've already demonstrated that they have the allergic propensity. Well, here's my current reading of what the experts say. Breastfeed, breastfeed, breastfeed. It seems to be protective for allergy and maybe can stave off allergic disease in those that are prone to them. And if you think your child is one of those children, try and avoid cow's milk and soy protein for the first 6 months, if possible. If you do have to use a formula, it might be a good idea to use one of those hydrolyzed formulas, one of those expensive, specialized, chemically broken up formulas for those children who are really prone to allergy. Not all children need these, but they do seem to be better tolerated in certain children. Mom consuming probiotics, especially during pregnancy and while lactating, seems to have some effect on a child's immune system and reduces their chance significantly of them developing allergic disease. And try and avoid all solid foods in all babies for the first 4 to 6 months of life. Now, many pediatricians suggest avoiding highly allergenic foods like egg white, peanut protein, shellfish, tree nuts, fish, until a child is a year of age. But, and this is a big but, this is all relatively new stuff, waiting until a child is 3 years of age, if you think they're prone to allergic disease, is no longer recommended since it has been shown not, I repeat, not to lower your child's chance of becoming allergic to a food. And finally, here's a little advice for those parents who have a child who's already developed a food allergy, the immediate type hypersensitivity reaction, the IgE type food allergy. My main advice to you is be ready. Have an allergy action plan made up by your pediatrician or allergist. Have Benadryl on hand to block the effect of histamine and adrenaline. That's an EpiPen or equivalent device if the reaction is serious. Seek help if your child is having an allergic reaction. Remember, in addition to the immediate reaction, there can be a delayed reaction 4 to 6 hours later. So make sure you are ready for any late symptoms. Get an identifying bracelet so other caretakers are warned about your child's allergy. And if your child is peanut or nut allergic, make sure their school environment is free of these proteins. And read those labels. Become an expert in reading food labels. And if your child is old enough, teach them to do the same thing. Well, as always, I want to thank you for joining me today for this podcast. Hopefully that discussion gave you a little bit better basis to understand what food allergy is all about, and you learned a few practical things that might help you someday. That's always my goal. I welcome your comments on my blog, docsmo.com. And remember, you can make contact with all the old content as well as the new content on either iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, or directly to my website, docsmo.com. Invite your friends if you like what you hear. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, broadcasting from you-know-where, the beautiful studio 1E, first child's bedroom, east side of the house, understanding that it's no small feat knowing what your child should eat. Until next time. I want to thank the following people for help with the production of this podcast: David, Golden Voice Jaffe, for his intro voiceover. Seth Jaffe, the Rocket Man Barrister, for his inspirational guidance. Wendy Smolin, chief of our talented legal staff. Sarah, the Wizard Smolin, for her digital editing and photography. And Robert Beezer, Ben Smolin, and Jerome Moof for producing this beautiful intro and outro music you were listening to. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the docsmo.com website. This docsmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.